Y'all know me, I'm a little different from time to time. So we're going to be a little different today with our Christmas message. Isaiah 36, 1 and 2. Now it came to pass in the 14th year of King Hezekiah that Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the defense cities of Judah and took them. And the king of Assyria sent Rabshakeh from Lachish to Jerusalem unto King Hezekiah with a great army. And he stood by the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field. I want to stop right there. Like we said, we're going to be a little different today. I want to title our sermon today, The Siege of Christmas. The Siege of Christmas. Abba, Father, we thank you, God, once again for the joy and privilege of getting to stand here at Faith Baptist to share your word today. I ask you, Father, please, to help me to bring out the sermon today the way that you'd have me to say nothing more and nothing less than what is needed for the sermon today. I ask you, Father, please, for all those who are in attendance, both here physically and those who are watching live, or even on down the road, that they will each and every one receive what they need from the service here today. Help us, Father, please, to understand that Christmas is a year-round thing for us, that it is important for us to keep the true message in our hearts year-round. Not the gifts under the tree, not the stockings hung by the fireplace, not Santa Claus or snow or anything else, but Jesus, the bringing the ultimate gift for us, that of salvation. Help us, Lord, please. In the precious name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So, let me try to put two and two together here so it makes a little bit of sense, my line of thinking. So Hezekiah here, he's one of the better kings of the southern kingdom of Judah. And he decided to take a stand. For too long, there had been too much false worship taking place in the southern kingdom. Too many false altars. Too many groves had been planted. Too many idols worshipped. And he said, enough is enough, and he started taking these things down. Well, the enemy doesn't like when we start taking a stand for God. So the enemy sent this Assyrian king named Sennacherib against Jerusalem. And he conquered all the way there, stopping only here at Lachish to deal with the siege there and send an ambassador ahead. I'm going to wipe the floor with you is essentially the message. It's best if you just yield. You can't stand against me. I've got you outnumbered by the thousands to one. You can't do it. Yield. I will at the very least lay siege to you so you cannot escape. I will eventually starve you out. Maybe your own people will even turn against you. Just go ahead and give it up. Does this sound a little familiar today? We are inundated with the message from the world. Give up. Throw in the towel. Brother Frank, I've lost track of the number of times that I was asked, is your church going to have church service on Christmas morning? Not, are you going to have a sunrise type service at 5, 6, 7 a.m., but are you going to have it? It's Christmas, Priscilla. Don't you know this is a time when you should be spending with family, not getting all dressed up and going to church? There's so much out there that is laying siege to Christmas that seeks to twist it, distort it, take it away. Even the very message that was being sent here to Hezekiah was them literally saying, y'all surrender, we're going to transplant you, move you over to another country where, hey, there'll be plenty of food and water for you, plenty of property, and then we're going to move somebody else from there over to here, transplant them. Is that not what they try to do with us? With Frosty, with Santa Claus, with Kwanzaa. I'll even go against Hanukkah here for a little bit too. The whole kit and caboodle here is an effort to supplant the fact that Jesus is the reason for the season. It ain't season's greetings. It ain't happy holidays. It's Merry Christmas. But the world don't like that. And so they are laying siege to it. The almighty dollar. Their way of talking. Their way of living. Anything and everything they can do to convince us, throw in that towel. I want to look at some of the things here this morning that the world uses to lay siege against us and against Christmas. By the way, I do realize there's a reason for the go ahead and substituting the X, that there's some little thing there that you can actually substitute X in there for Christ. You know what? I want Christ in Christmas, so I'm just going to say Christmas and not Xmas. You know, whatever the Latin thing is there that allows it, I'm not Latin, so it's Christmas. Amen. I want to share these things with you. So number one, the law. Yeah. See, the law is a good thing, but real quick. Let me ask you this. Do you know what 1,000 lawyers buried up to their necks in sand means? You ain't got enough sand. Y'all can laugh at that. That's fine. But what's the thing about lawyers? They like to twist the law to make it fit their client. They want it to benefit them. And they will use any law, obscure, common, whatever law they can get their hands on to make it so as it works their way. And in this very divided nation, it's a sad thing to say, but we are also a divided nation. Church as a whole. I'm not saying Faith Baptist here. I'm saying as a whole, across the globe. We fight each other for the simplest, stupidest reasons. Pardon my French there. We major on the minor doctrine. We throw out the major doctrine. And we've got legalism. We've got this. We've got that. Anything and everything we can do to twist one another up. And some Christians get so militant about it. Because this is how it is. I was actually, a couple months ago, me and Brother John, we were out knocking on doors here. Ran into a fella. Said, you know, Christmas trees are illegal according to the Bible. God forbids Christmas trees. You Christians having Christmas trees, you're breaking God's law. Well, I knew the passage of Scripture he was talking about, but it's been a while since I'd studied it. But I thank God I'm under grace, not under the law. But what he's in reference to is over there in Jeremiah chapter number 10, where God told the Israelites, stop going into the forest, cutting down trees, bringing them back in to your houses, shaping them up, nailing branches and stuff together, covering them with gold and silver. He's talking about idolatry. Because Jeremiah was 600 years before Christ. There were no Christmas trees. Okay? They weren't celebrating Christmas. But what they were doing was they were taking the wood and making idols of them. Not every idol is made of stone. Not every idol is made of pure gold or gems. Sometimes it's just wood. And that's exactly what they were doing with these idols there. And God is forbidding them to be making idols. Those idols, they stay up year round. I deliver to schools when I deliver bread. And some of these schools absolutely fascinates me that they've got a celebration tree, Brother Frank. It's a Christmas tree, but it's a celebration tree, so they can keep it up year round. It looks ridiculous. I'm sorry, it does. But the fact of the matter is the Christmas trees, okay, we got four or five of them at least in here. They're going to get put away soon. Not tomorrow, but soon, okay? That means we're not worshiping these trees. But the trees talked about there in Jeremiah 10, they were worshiping. They were falling down there, doing all that nonsense right there. That's what God was forbidding. But ordinary, run-of-the-mill, mankind looks at it and says, Christmas trees are forbidden by God. You therefore are a bunch of heathen, hypocrites, and a bunch of liars and whatnot. Don't you know your own law? God says not to do it. Get it all twisted around. And then there's a whole bunch of stuff when it comes to the idea that December 25th, Christmas Day, is a pagan holiday. And there's this list of different pagan beliefs and pagan deities and whatnot here that are supposed to be affiliated with December 25th. And Christians walked into Europe there and says, hey, your God was born on this day, so was our God. And we're just going to combine everything to make it easier to transition for you all into Christianity and such. Wonderful video if you all want to check it out on YouTube, titled Is Christmas Pagan? In Defense of Christmas by Mike Winger. Really informative how he broke everything down on there. By the way, as he's breaking all this stuff down, he just keeps showing one right after another. Does not line up at all. Everything that we've gotten here recently is very much modern, based off of myths from thousands of years ago that don't even come close to giving the details that these modern books and videos and movies are saying. But it's all a matter of twisting the law so as that it can go against Christians. So as that we feel bad about celebrating Christmas because we're celebrating a pagan holiday. Kind of cutting our knees out from underneath us if they're able to there. They tell you, how about those Christmas trees? It's a matter of that they were put up originally to ward off evil spirits, illnesses, witches, ghosts. Well, if they ward off illnesses, I think there's a few people in here that know somebody who's sick who's got a Christmas tree at home. Didn't work! The fact of the matter is, it's all twisting so as that they can make it illegal for us to want to have Christmas. Now, quite frankly, I believe that Luke comes the closest to telling us exactly when Jesus was born, that it was in the springtime. You just got to follow everything that is laid out there in Luke and then go back into 1 Chronicles for a little extra information there. But that's a sermon for a different time. But the fact of the matter is, this world lays siege to Christmas by trying to make us understand it's pagan. No, we're trying to make you understand it's Jesus. No matter what you want to say. Here's one for you. I need it all L words, so we go with low temperatures. Oh, that wonderful, wonderful cold. Oh, my soul. Oh, I went to start up my pickup truck there on Friday morning to go to work, and it's cranking and cranking. I'm like, please, baby, start. I don't want to take the Weiss van. If I don't have to, I'll get in trouble. Oh, it finally caught. Praise God. Oh, it was cold. We came in this morning. We were all like, yeah, it's going to be 40s and 50s this week. We all happy about it. But the fact of the matter is, the world says, why are you going to have church on Sunday? Don't you know the weather's bad? It's frightful. It's cold. It's snowy. I've seen pictures of people in church in the Philippines. Water up to their waist. And they're still in church. I think about the early church. They didn't have a beautiful building like this. They met in someone's home. I think about over there in China. One piece of paper. A few verses written out in Chinese, and they've got to quickly memorize it so they can pass it on to the next person in case that one piece of paper gets seen by an authority figure and they get arrested and go to jail over it. I think I can handle the cult a little bit better given what the rest of the world has to deal with, what our progenitors dealt with years ago, how they had to take and tie the extra set of horses onto the sleigh to get them to church that Christmas day. You and me, who? It's nice and toasty in my house and it's 30 degrees outside. Ooh, no, can't do that. Bible doesn't say nothing about rain, snow, wind, extreme cold, or anything like that being enough for God to say, hey, go ahead and stay home today. But my Bible does tell me about those who gave their lives in defense of the gospel. Those who went traveling about. They didn't care what the weather conditions were. They didn't care what the natives were going to say. They wanted to give the gospel. They wanted to come together. But the world says, you're crazy for this. The world says, hey, it's the weather's horrible. Why would you want to go? Why would you want to go when it's Christmas Day? You should be staying home, the world says. And maybe there are churches across this land where people said, it's too cold. I'm not going to go today. I'm glad we got the live stream. Because for those who really wanted to go but couldn't get out physically, like Miss Betty this morning, she wants to, she can turn that on. Church, don't listen to the lies from the world. We can still come together. Amen. You know what else the world will use as a means of laying siege to Christmas? Your livelihood. Your job. You got to work on Sunday. You got to work on Christmas Day. You've got a family to support. You've got to make money. You have got to take care of your family, both the employer and the employee. All about making that money. Yes, I fully understand it. I got restaurants I deliver to that are still going to be open today, even though there's hardly going to be any business. They're still going to go. Because, hey, there's money to be made. Not as much as there was 25 years ago, but there's still money to be made. I remember one Christmas years ago, I was a little feller. Christmas came on December 26th. Because on the 25th, Dad was scheduled to work over here at the steel mill. And got asked to work a double because they were having problems getting people to show up for their scheduled shift. So I had to wait for Christmas till the next day. You know what? I understood. It hurt like the devil then because I wanted to open those presents, but it was his livelihood. And the world says you've got a livelihood that you need to take care of. You have responsibilities. Christmas ain't that important. Go out there and make that dollar. Go out there and do your job. Go out there and fulfill your responsibilities. That's one thing when it's a matter of volunteering. It's another thing when they scheduled you. But then again, the same thing works with church. If we're volunteering to work when it's church time instead of being in church, we're only hurting ourselves. It's up to us, though. Are we going to let the world convince us otherwise? You know, the world thinks so much about Christmas that right now there are stores across this land that are already pulling Christmas items off of their shelves and switching over to the next thing, most likely Valentine's Day. Get that Valentine's Day candy out there. Marking the Christmas stuff down 50%, even though, what, it's not even noontime on December 25th, because they're chasing the almighty dollar to take care of their livelihood. How about this one? Leisure activities. Football Time to go play that. Time to take the kids out sledding. Let's go build a snowman. Hey, we need to be playing some games. We can play games inside. Well, we need to be having all of this stuff take place today. Really, do we? Is it that important to take the kids sledding today? The snow's still going to be there tomorrow. It's not warming up past the freezing point till later in the week. And the kids are off tomorrow. Football, oh yeah. Your team's probably going to lose anyways if they didn't end up losing yesterday already. And it's 3+ hours long. You can miss the opening kickoff. Miss the opening shots of the basketball game, the hockey game, whatever it is. But the world says, no, you got to be there start to finish. How about for church we start being here start to finish? How about for God we start being here start to finish? We start making our leisure activity coming to the house of God instead of being away from God as much as possible. Honestly, we're usually out of here within an hour. 52 weeks a year, that's 52 hours a year. I couldn't even tell you. 24 hours times 365, someone wants to run that real quick. My phone's busy at the moment. But honestly, 52 hours a year ain't nothing. But yet, we'll begrudge God that so as we can have our leisure activities. The world begrudges God that, trying to convince us to take our leisure activities instead. This one goes right along with it. Our lineage. In other words, family. It's time to open the presents. It's no time to leave the house to head off to church, but there is time to leave the house to head off over to the relatives. Head over to the friends. We're going to eat. We're going to open up presents. We're going to fellowship. We're going to have a good time over there. If you're saved, God's your Father. That makes Jesus your brother. That makes me your brother. You brothers and sisters here in the congregation, why can't we have fellowship with our family right here? Seems like this would be a pretty good family to get together with, but instead the world says, no, not them, not them, not them. The family over there. That's the one we're concerned about. Got to have that meal. That same meal that you're going to forget about in a couple of days, just how good it was or how bad it was. What matters most is that you spent time with them and not at some old, boring, pardon me, Miss Jeannie, dusty church. That's why I said, pardon me. I didn't say our church is dusty, but the world, as far as they're concerned, this is dusty. Because they don't even come inside. They don't care. Actually, they do care. They'd be tickled pink if we closed our doors right now. They could knock this place down, turn it into more apartments, houses, whatever. But as far as actually coming inside, that's for marriages, and we've got justice of the peace to do that. We've got Vegas to do that. So we really don't even need a church house no more. And funerals, but we got funeral parlors, so we don't even need the church no more. This world's going to find out real quick one day how much they need a church when we're raptured out of here. And my last one is simply logic. Everyone's doing it, or no one cares about it. See, the world in their siege of Christmas says religion is nothing but a crutch for people. Religion is simply for those who aren't strong enough to make it through life on their own. It's fine when you're a little bitty child to believe in God, but once you grow up, you need to grow up. Let's start being logical about this. Let's start being scientific about this. Say season's greetings so you don't offend nobody. Say happy holidays because we're celebrating holidays here. It's time for us to be off work so we can enjoy ourselves. Well, logically speaking, other religions celebrate at the same time of year, as well as all making everything about Santa Claus and Rudolph and everything else. all you're trying to do is crowd out the true meaning of Christmas. In other words, you're putting it under siege. You want to be logical about it. And speaking of Santa Claus and how he brings presents for everyone. You ever stop and think about that one? Santa Claus bringing presents for everyone. Unless your family's just too poor. In which case, Santa just don't like you because you're not wealthy enough to be able to afford presents. And if you're rich, Santa Claus gets you nice, expensive presents that you can rub in the face of your poor friends. No one bothers to think about that, do they? Not a very fair system, is it? But if we start thinking logically, well, you know, it really kind of messes up everything. But if we're going to be logical about it, let's remember Jesus. He brought one gift, and it's a size that fits all. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, white, black, anything in between, red, yellow, male, female, ugly, good looking, fat, skinny, tall, short, don't matter. Jesus brought salvation for us. Amen. For whosoever would be willing to accept Him. So while the world lays siege to Christmas, while the world hates the church, it brings their message and, hey, you might as well just compromise. You might as well throw in the towel. You might as well give up. We've won. No, you haven't won yet. Should we celebrate Christmas? Well, I find in Matthew and Luke and even in John, the Bible tells me they celebrated the first Advent, the very first Christmas. I find throughout the Old Testament references to when that first Christmas would come, what it was going to mean for us. So I've got reasons to celebrate Christmas, no matter what they say out there in the world, no matter what the weather looks like out there, no matter how empty my pockets might be, I've got reasons to celebrate. Because one day I'm going home. I'm not going to be stuck here through it all. It's more than just about keeping Christ or keeping Christmas in our hearts year-round. It's about keeping Christ in Christmas in our hearts and doing that year-round. So as Brother Frank comes with a song of invitation, I've got just this one very important question for you today. Do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us. We thank you, Father, that we don't have to worry about the enemy laying siege. Because quite frankly, even there with Hezekiah, he turned to you, he prayed, the people prayed to you, and you delivered them. And we know this, you're going to deliver us too. No matter what this world's got to say, don't matter, we've got you. And we're thankful, Father, for this. We pray, Lord, for your blessings upon this day. We ask you, Lord, if there's anyone here who needs to know Jesus as their Savior as well today, that they would make today their own personal Christmas day. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen. If you please stand, what page you have, brother?
87.
Page number 87. The Lord is come, let earth be seen.